Father, we are so grateful. We honor you. Again, the creator of heaven and earth. There is none like you. The heavens declare your glory, and truly the earth is full of your handiworks. We enter into your word with reverence and awe. We're fully conscious of the limitations of the human mind to deliver as well as to receive the infinite wisdom of God that has been compressed and hidden in this written word. Consequently, we need your supernatural help and assistance to unravel that wisdom. Therefore, we pray and ask for fresh unction and anointing, firstly, upon my heart and my lips, so that indeed I would speak as I should as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled by the power and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that as we speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great measure to back these words, to follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word, that indeed I will do it with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned when I was praying in their own individual life, agreed and said, amen. We're going to continue studying God's word in our last lesson. We're in 1 Peter chapter 3. Where in the world were we? Yes, we were about verse 12 or so of 1 Peter chapter 3. In our last lesson, we stopped in verse 12 through 13. We were bringing out the fact that you need to speak the right kind of words. Let me just summarize it in a very simple way. God was emphasizing to us the vital importance of keeping a right attitude in all your human relations, and that attitude will now spill out in the right words and the right actions. And that's why it says, do not return railing for railing. Keep your tongue from evil, you know, but contrarywise blessing. We looked at this verse 10, you know, so that your lips speak no guile. Now, this is not something that happens automatically, simply because you're a born again Christian. You know, you have to work at it. Now, when we say work, now we're not meaning physical work. We're talking about spiritual work. You have to. James tells us, he says, the tongue can no man tame. He did not say the tongue cannot be tamed. So it's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit to tame your tongue. And like we said, though God said this through me many, many years ago. It just came out when I was preaching sometime, and I've never forgotten it. You know, God gave you your tongues to tame your tongue. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, tongues tames the tongue. The more you pray in tongues, the more you tame your tongue. Hallelujah. Because you're praying in tongues, you're using the power of the Holy Spirit. And that will now, you know, tame your heart. Because of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And then from the heart, the right words will come out. Praise the Lord. And you'll just find that, you know, I've watched myself personally. The Bible says you should judge yourself. He said, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. I do not say this in a boastful kind of manner. I say it with soberness, and it's a good example for you. And you too should be doing the same. You know, I have watched myself over the years. You know, particularly recent, when I say recent, maybe 5-10 years. And you know, I have far much more control over my tongue now than I had before. So it works. Praise the Lord. I can tell you from personal experience. That's not to say I don't make one or two mistakes up till now, but rarely. Praise the Lord. Not like I used to. You know, even when I'm angry now, I don't sin. I am angry, but I'm learning that. I haven't perfected it. I am perfecting it, but I haven't yet perfected it. You know, I'm angry, but I, you know, it's control now. So I know from personal experience that you can tame the tongue. You know, you say the right things. You bless people instead of cursing them. You know, I've also taught this in recent times, and it bears repetition in this particular context. And this is, you know, it. You know, what used to irritate me now leads me to pray. You know, when I see people, I get angry, I just pray. Unlike before, when I'll get angry. And that's it, you know, say the wrong thing. You know, now, when somebody does something wrong, maybe I see them sin or they irritate me or grates me in one way or the other, and they do. That's why God put them there. Praise the Lord. And He sent them to me to perfect me. Hello. Just like He sent them to you too. And incidentally, like He sent you to them too. It's not a one-way street. Are you listening to me? We all need one another. Hallelujah. God created us to be interdependent. No man is an island. You're perfecting people and people are perfecting you. Amen. All right. So when you see them, you know, the first, it's because I have, by practice, and I'm still doing it, like I said, you know, I've trained myself and I'm still training myself under the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is helping me, training me, you know. So the first thing that comes out of my mind is mercy. Unlike before. Before. Fire. It's not Holy Ghost fire. You know. But now, you know, you see somebody else says, Lord, have mercy. You pray for them first. I may talk to them. I may even rebuke them sharply later. But now, it's more on a foundation of mercy and prayer than before when it was just... Hallelujah. Amen. And we shared that example. You see, God gives us two contrasting examples in the scripture of Paul and Jesus, the Lord Jesus. When Paul was slapped, he said the wrong thing. You know, he said, you whitewash wall. God was, I don't know what he said. God will slap you too, or something like that. You know. We all do the same thing. God recorded that in the Bible to give you hope. Now, it's not like Paul too, you know, he was working on it. So if you're working on it, you're still in good company. And that's why you should never condemn yourself. And number one, and number two, you should never give up. So that you know you're working on it. That's why I use the word perfecting, not perfected. In other words, it's a continuous process. So if you see yourself slip, that's okay. Amen. I mean, it's not okay to continue to do that, but what I mean is that the Bible says a just man falls seven times and rises again. Why does the word Bible use seven? Seven is just symbolic of completion. So it takes time. All right? And so, you know, but the Lord Jesus didn't react like that. You know, He didn't react like Paul did. Same thing, same situation. They were before the high priest, both of them. And, you know, and they provoked Jesus, slapped Him too, just like they did Paul. You know, but Jesus said, why did you... Now, He responded, but He didn't respond in... He just said, why did you slap me? He said, if I spoke evil, bear witness of the evil. But if I didn't, then why did you slap me? And then when the high priest said to Him, you know, Lord, that's why we can be like Him, and we should copy His example. And when the high priest said, tell us! If you are the Son, if you are the Messiah, let's just keep it simple. You know, but he said it in a Hebrew kind of form. You know, if you are the Son of the Blessed, because all the Hebrews were looking for, because it had been prophesied from the time of Moses and you know, down through all the prophets, David and all of that. In fact, everybody amongst the Jews, they call the Messiah the Son of David. And so, you know, the high priest now asked Him directly and said, are you the Son of the Blessed? And He said, as you say, I am. Man, the guy got mad. The high priest lost his sanctification. Tore his clothes. And if you go and read in the book of Leviticus and somewhere in the Old Testament, you find that the high priest is not supposed to clear clothes under any kind of provocation. So the guy, you know, just misbehaved. But Jesus was just cool. He only spoke when it was necessary. When it was not necessary, He kept quiet. So don't you answer me? So he said, no. He said, they marveled. When he got before Pilate, Pilate said, tell me, are you a king? He answered him. He said, yeah, did somebody tell you this? Or, did you know it of yourself? Then he said, I am a king. He said, to this end was I born. That's why I was born into the world. Do you know the same thing is true about you? Do you know the same thing? I'll talk about that later on in my message today. Same thing is true about you. That's why you were born into this world. You are a king in Christ Jesus. And your destiny is to manifest that kingship in this life. And Jesus did. The Lord Jesus did. Sadly, many Christians don't even know they're kings. And those who know, many times don't even grow spiritually enough to manifest that kingship in their lives. They are potential kings. So he's made us kings and priests. But being a potential king and being an actual king are two completely different things. Are you listening to me? Oh, yes. Sure, we're all kings, potentially. But, you see that in the rewards of the overcomer. In Revelations chapter 2 and 3, talking to different churches, but talking to all every single Christian. He says, he that hath an LMA, he was saying to the church, is not just the, even though he was talking to a particular church, but the message was not just for that particular church, it was for all churches, including you and I. And so, and the last reward is that he that overcometh will I grant to sit in my throne. It's like I overcame and I sat in his throne. It's available in this lifetime. It is available. And it's like a coronation. You know, men in the natural, after they make money, the next thing they want is title. Go somewhere, chieftaincy title. They are trying to fulfill an inner destiny that God is calling them to. And then they settle for the one that man gives them. You aren't called to be, a king in, don't let me mention any names. I want to give you a chieftaincy title. What do you want to do with that? You got the real chieftaincy title. The one Jesus gave you. Now, will you inherit it or not? That's the issue. So the Lord Jesus answered him and said, I'm a king. Pilate obviously believed him, and he understood that he was not his physical king. He said, but my kingdom, and Jesus explained, my kingdom is not of this world, or else my servants would have fought. He said, my kingdom is, is spiritual. And Pilate was afraid. He knew that the man was telling the truth, and his wife sent to him and said, don't have anything to do with that man. Now, when he came back the next day, he said, don't you know I have power to crucify? Jesus said, no, you don't. No, you don't. He said, you wouldn't have any power except God gave it to you. And the guys who delivered me to you, they have the greatest sin. And they didn't say anything again. What I'm talking about is control of the tongue under pressure. It will come, but you have to practice it using the blood, the word, and the spirit, the power. But the more you pray in the spirit and release the power of God, the more you control your heart and therefore control your tongue, because it is of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. You speak what is in your mind that is inspired by your emotions. So when your mind and your emotions are controlled by the Holy Spirit, automatically your tongue will be. Amen. Hallelujah. Am I talking to anybody here? So that's what we looked at in the last lesson. Now let's move on. Glory be to God. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3. And then he also said in verse 13, he says that the eyes, verse 12 rather, he said that the eyes of the Lord, in other words, God is watching. I said this last time. He's watching our attitudes. And that's this. You need to be constantly conscious of the fact that God is watching. He's watching that heart. It says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's always watching. He's always watching. And when he sees, and this is why you should exercise yourself in honesty of heart constantly, like Paul. He says, herein do I exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense toward God and man. And the same Paul, said, I have renounced, he said, we, talking about himself, Timothy, and the people in his group, he said, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. If there is a terrible sin that is affecting Christians today, it is that. dishonesty and walking in craftiness and handling the word of God deceitfully. I'll talk about that, you know, probably by maybe saying, you find that, you know, most people, I didn't say all, but a great majority of us, we twist the Bible to suit us. Always quoting the Bible in such a way as to suit you in that particular situation. That's dishonesty. That's handling the word of God deceitfully. And you know what? God sees it. When you're honest, you attract mercy. When you're dishonest, you retract mercy. The more honest you are, the more mercy you get. The less honest you are, the Bible says, the hidden things of him are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, you know, so that they are without excuse. You see, when they knew God, honesty, they neither glorified him as God, neither were they thankful. Therefore, he gave them up. You know, he said their foolish heart became darkened. So, the light that was there before, for this is the true light that lighted every man that cometh in the world, was withdrawn. Or is, you know, again, these things are not in absolutes. They vary, you know, they're dynamic. You know, when you're honest, light. But you're dishonest, it's redrawn to some degree, depending on the degree of dishonesty. So you want to practice honesty of heart so that, you know, you can constantly attract mercy and light and strength to do the right thing. You know, even unbelievers, this happens not even just for Christians. And that's why God saves people. When he saves people, he doesn't save them on the basis of works. It's on the heart. You know, even though that heart may reflect in some good works, but it's not the works that made God save them. It's the heart attitude that is right. One of the best examples of that is Cornelius. He says, your alms and your prayers are come up as a memorial. Now, it wasn't the alms and the something that got him saved. It was the honesty that made him do the alms and the something that came up as a memorial. And then the mercy of God moved on Cornelius and Peter. And then got Peter to come and get him born again. He still needed to be born again through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those prayers and those alms could never get him born again. You're not born again by works. You're born again by faith, by the mercy and the grace of God through your faith, which is just trusting, you know, believing, you know, God, which really comes down to heart attitude. So no matter which way you cut it, this Christian life thing, you know, I've seen it now, the foundation of everything is honesty and humility of heart. Take that away, every other thing crumbles. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Now, verse 14. Let's see how God will help us today. Well, verse 13. And who is he? I didn't hear you, folks. That will harm you if you be followers of that which is good. 14. Hallelujah. But, and if, I like that. So, it's not every time you will suffer, but sometimes you will. It's part of the package, folks. It's going to be talking about later on today in quite some great degree. But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That's that heart again. This thing is a heart. It's a heart relationship, folks. That's God's looking at the heart. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with what? Meekness, attitude again, and fear. Even when you answer people, don't answer them with arrogance. Again, let me go back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at how Jesus was dealing with them that day. Look at how he talked to the high priest. Look at how he talked to Pilate. He was sure of himself, but he wasn't arrogant. He wasn't. Even though he knew who he was, he knew he was a king, he knew he was, you know, God was with him, you know, but he was not arrogant. Meekness and reverence. And that's a very important attitude, especially towards unbelievers. Many times we Christians can be very brash. Bloody unbel! We heard that before. Unbel, you guys don't know unbel. Unbel means unbeliever. When I was a young Christian, that's what we used to call them. As if you were not an unbel before. And as if it's not the mercy and the grace of God that saved you. One day God had to rebuke me sharply. He said, don't talk like that again. And I stopped it. I don't do it anymore. You know? He said, were you not an unbel too? Was it not my mercy and grace that preserved you? Was it not my mercy and grace that saved you? How dare you now refer to another person as unbel? He said, every sinner is a potential saint. And treat them like that. Wow. I said, Lord, it's true. Every sinner is a potential saint. And some of these guys you are seeing in beer parlors now and that are walking all over the place, some of them, they are the apostles of tomorrow. Today when I was praying and I was preparing for this service, when you pray in the Spirit, words paint pictures, you see. So the Holy Spirit talks to me. You know, and he was reminding me, I was meditating on something and a thought came, you know, and he reminded me, you know, of this. It was Kenneth Hagin. Some of the prophecies Kenneth Hagin gave, I'll get back to what I'm talking about in a minute. You know, he gave in 75, 74, in fact, even earlier than that. Some of them were in the late 60s. You know, and then the Lord was telling me, Olubi, he said, do you observe that at the time those prophecies were given, you weren't even born again? Especially, there was a prophecy that was given by Kenneth Hagin, you know, about the end time, talking about tabernacles, Passover. He said some Christians, you know, the summary was it, these angels appeared, you know, and said, what's the word of the Lord? And, you know, the word of the Lord came to Kenneth Hagin, the prophet, you know, this was in John Osteen's church in Lakewood, Texas. And in summary of it was that, you know, you're going to have three different groups of Christians in the end time. There's some who just get born again and that's where they stay. And then there's some who get filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking tongues, but that's where they stay. You know, and now occasionally when they're in an emergency and they're in problem, they come in and then they go out. He said, but some renew their minds with the word. And they began to see that the gifts of the manifestation of the Spirit were for them. And they went down even further. And then he talked about the waters of Ezekiel, the ankle, the knee, you know, the loins, and then, you know, total submersion. So he said that there are some Christians who will move further in into the fullness. That's what we mean, the Spirit, our measure. You see, all those ones, ankle and all that, they're all Spirit, but it's all we measure. When you get to the place where the thing completely submerges you, the Spirit, our measure. So he said that those who are going to, you know, move into that, you know, in the end time, they'll renew their minds with the Word, you know, and they will, you know, be consistent. I'm just using my own words to paraphrase, you know. And then finally, you know, he says, and it will be said of them that those that turn the world upside down are come hither also, you know. I remember hearing that prophecy. I didn't hear it when it was given. No. I heard it about a year later. When it was given, I wasn't born again. It was given in March 1979. I was in Ecom during my national service. God has had to deal with me, but I hadn't even entered. I didn't get born again until late April. Around this time, I got born again. Late April, early May. You know, and I certainly wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. I didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost until November. In England, do you understand? But God was telling me, he said, imagine somebody seeing you at that time and abusing you because you are drinking Gulda. In CrossFit, it was Champion. I wasn't a great drinker or anything like that. I was a kid, just a silly kid, you know. But in the, you know, we used to go with the officers' mess, you know, the coppers. So we had all these colonels and lieutenant colonels, and they were all our friends, you know. So when we just go to the officers' mess and, you know, play tombola, eat suya, and now imagine somebody seeing me there and say, "You bloody unbel." Whereas that prophetic word, I was going to fulfill it years down the road. So the Lord was telling me this morning, as those thoughts were coming to me, and he said, just as you are prophesying and saying now, there are people who are not born again now that are coming in for it. He said, be very careful. It's not all the people I'm talking to now that are going to fulfill what I'm saying. There are people who are not yet born again that are still coming in. Now, some of you will. I trust all of you will.
Amen. Thank God for the amen. I agree with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it's going to take more than a loud amen. Hello, somebody.
But the point is this. There are people there outside who are not. But some of them have honest hearts. And God is already dealing with them and positioning them. Yes, sir. Like he was me. Like he was me. I didn't know. Didn't know God from Adam. I was an unbell. So, talk to them with meekness and fear. You don't know who you're talking to. You don't know what they will become tomorrow. Only Pastor Quigga said amen. When I said the other one, all of you shouted amen. Why did you shout amen to this one too? Your heart. If you can't say amen, say oh me. That's what Papa Hagin used to say. But and if, where are we now? Yeah, Amanda, ask you with meekness. That's why you should be meek and lowly in heart. You don't know who you're talking to. You don't know what the future holds. So you'd never go wrong by being humble. Never. Just have that attitude all the time. That way you won't make any silly mistakes. It's with arrogance and pride that gets us into trouble. Verse 16. Am I talking to anybody here? Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conduct or, you know, conversation in Christ. Give me this in the New King James. Thank you, Jesus. Good. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers. And you know, that's the thing about Christians. You know, the unbelievers, you know, sometimes they provoke us by persecution. You know, persecution is harsh criticism. You know, and talk evil about us and lie and things like that. And sadly, sometimes we come down to their level and respond the same way. Now, Paul is saying, don't do that. You know, they don't know God yet, but you do. So when they insult you, or they defame you, or they criticize you, or they persecute you, you know, you need to respond properly. Those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Now, a day is going to come when if you behave properly through you, the Spirit of God will bring them in, then they will be ashamed then of what they did now. Hello? You know, this thing happened to me. Actually happened to me. That my youth call here, you know, we there were four of us who were coppers in the school I taught in. I taught in Holy Child College in Ikom in the Cross River State, you know, and four of us were coppers. One of us was a lady and she was a Christian. I showed her. Oh my God. There was nothing I didn't say to that girl. You know, I would torment her and, you know, just, you know, not in end, I wasn't a bad guy, you know, but, you know, I was ridicule her, make fun of her, just stupid SU and all kinds of things, you know. But she was a very nice lady, you know, very sweet. She would just laugh at me, you know, and all of that. You know, do you know I got born again through her? Now, she didn't lead me, but I had to borrow her Bible because I didn't have a Bible. So I got born again reading her Bible. Amen. And you can imagine how ashamed I felt. In fact, when I got born again, she didn't believe. She didn't believe. She didn't believe at first. She believed later. She didn't believe. She said, you. You know. And then, you know, with time, she began to see. Then years later, when I say years later, maybe 10, I can't remember. I was preaching somewhere in I think it's Kogi State now. I think it was Kwara State. That's where she comes from. And this person just walks up to me and says, Olubi. I said, wow. Then I remembered, and you know, we exchanged pleasantries and nice greetings and all of that. I said, well, I've been hearing your pastor now and all of that. I just thought back. I said, Those that revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. You keep doing the right thing. God will bring them around. Are you listening to me? Okay, now let's move on. For it is better if the will of God be so. Now, this if here is very important because it's conditional. In other words, this is something that happens all the time. But in certain situations, God will let it happen. I'll explain as we go on. That you suffer for well-doing than for evil. So sometimes, God will actually allow you to suffer for doing the right thing and saying the right thing. He will, watch this, He will allow them to insult you. Sometimes He'll allow them to slap you. I didn't hear amen again. Now when you like how amen here. You can't be selective about your amens of the word of God. The whole of the word of God, all the promises of God in Him are yea, including suffering. Thank you, Pastor G. Are you listening to me? Hey, I reject that. That's not my portion in Jesus' name. Me, I no go suffer. It's on an scriptural song. You are called to suffer. It's part of the package. Of course, if you don't suffer, you won't rain. So you no go suffer, but you will never rain. Take your song the way you like it. Hallelujah. Some people don't like me so much anymore, but it doesn't matter. Amen. Thank God I'm not your servant. I serve you, but I'm not your servant. I'm God's servant. Hallelujah. So, you know, sometimes he will let you suffer for well-doing. Sometimes doing good makes you suffer. Have you noticed that sometimes you do good, people will cheat you? And you know what? People actually think you're a fool. Because you don't react. Because you don't fight back. Don't you know they are cheating you? I know. I'm allowing them to. Hello. Hello. Do you know what the Lord Jesus said? I don't know if you've read, you know, heard about Jesus. How many have heard about Jesus? Hello. He said that if somebody makes you go 1 mile, he said, go with him too. He says, if he takes your coat, he says, give him the inner jacket too. Ha! He's cheating me, Lord! Jesus is not a fool. You know what he just did? You're operating the principle of give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and run over. If he takes the check, give him the suit, you're going to get 100 back. You continue to walk in love. Are you following me? Let them have it. Do you understand? Let them cheat you. Let them have it. It's coming back to you on every wave. It's not hard about that. What's hard about getting 100 suits? Hello? But sanctify. No. Where are we now? You know, for it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well doing than for evil doing. For Christ, and this is really the also, hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. The word quickened is given life. This is one of the scriptures that proved to us Jesus died spiritually. You only gave, notice he didn't say quickened by the flesh, he said quickened by the Spirit. Jesus was the first person to go from spiritual death to spiritual life. Adam went from spiritual life to spiritual death, and therefore death passed upon all men. Jesus, the last Adam, who came and died for us, he now went from spiritual, that's why he died on the cross. When he died on the cross, he didn't only die physically, which he did, but more importantly and more potently, he died spiritually. That's why he said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? God forsook him. And the scripture goes on to tell us that my soul was not left in hell. It means it went there. You can only leave. He said, it was not left. So if it was not left, it means it was there, but then it was taken out.
I'm not talking to anybody here. This is simple English comprehension.
Dishonesty of heart will not let you see it. I've heard Christians argue about that. How can you argue with something that's just like the Bible, that is clear in black and white? It's just English or Greek or whatever language you speak. Amen. It's simple. He said, quickened by the Spirit. He was put to death in the flesh. He died physically. And then he also died spiritually, went to hell. And then he was quickened. He was given life by the Holy Ghost. And it's that same life that you got born again from. Because you are born again by the resurrection.
Hello. Ooh, another message. This is one of the exciting places in the Word of God. Hallelujah.
But quickened by the Spirit.
I don't know.
Praise the Lord. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison.
Hello. So when Jesus died, and when he was raised from the dead, he was first of all raised from spiritual death to spiritual life. Then he stayed underground for some time. It wasn't immediate that he came out of the tomb. Notice he didn't come out from the tomb until about maybe 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. The Bible says it was a new day and it was beginning to dawn. Hello. So, sometime in between that time, after he'd been raised from the dead, he died a lamb, he arose a lion. Amen. The Bible says he spoiled principalities and powers. He took the keys of death and hell, went across the divide to Abraham's bosom and preached to the spirits in prison. And then when he was going up, he now led captivity captive. All that is in there. And you know what I want to do now? I want to give glory to God, firstly. And then I also want to thank God for EW Kenyon. Give him a clap offering. Hallelujah. You know who opened these scriptures up to us? E.W. Kenyon. E.W. Kenyon. This reality of Jesus' spiritual death. No, they even called him a false prophet for saying it. And called me too. That's okay, we're in good company. Called me, Kenneth Hagin, all of us, everybody who said we are false prophets. Whereas this is the very heart of the gospel. Are you listening to me? Oh hell, how can you explain this? He went to preach this. Which prison? Where were the spirits? Amen. Thank God for Peter. Jesus taught them. You remember Jesus came for 40 days. So he was telling them all of these things. He says, these are things that happened though. Yeah. Hello. Okay. Now, let's go back here. The spirits in prison, verse 20. Oh, God help me. Which sometime were disobedient. Those spirits he preached to had been disobedient.
I don't know if you know this or not. Again, we thank God for the ministry of E.W. Kenyon, who God used in the late 1800s, early 1900s, to bring the revelation of this truth, revive it. Paul had it first, then it got lost for thousands of years, and then God used E.W. Kenyon to revive it back into the church so that, people could understand it. Everybody in the Old Testament, even the best of them, Joseph, who are the greatest guys in the Old Testament? Joseph, Daniel, Noah, David,
Of course, you know David was disobedient. You don't need revelation for that one. Praise the Lord. But you know, nothing recorded against Joseph. Nothing recorded against Daniel. The Bible says he was perfect, no error, yet they were disobedient. They weren't born again. Nobody could be born again until Jesus came. So when they died, they didn't go to heaven. Thank God for E.W. Kenyon. They didn't go to heaven. They went under the earth where people who don't go to heaven go. All people who don't have Zoe. When they die, they don't go up, they go down. Another message for another day. I don't want to talk about hell this afternoon and scare the hell out of you. Which really I should. But, you know, they go down. So when they were down, they now go. But because of the blood of animals and the covenant God had made with Abraham, you know, and his seed, you know, that's why they have the Day of Atonement every year. The high priest would go and cover the sin. That was the legal basis that God had to keep them under the earth in Abraham's bosom, but they could see the fire on the other side, so they were not out of trouble yet. They were all waiting until the Messiah came. Imagine after the thousands of years, you're comfortable, but you're not secure. They were not, you know. That's why the rich man and Lazarus, when Lazarus died, Jesus was still alive, remember? That thing is not a parable. It's a real story. The rich man and Lazarus. So Lazarus, now, you know, he goes to Abraham's bosom. Amen? And they're comfortable, but they're not secure. Because they could see the hell and the fire on the other side. But there was a big, according to Father Abraham, there was a big chasm, you know, between the two places. Sadly, the rich man went to the other side. You know. Guys, you recognize Abraham. You know, when you die, you recognize people. Yes, sir. Spirits are people. My body is only the clothing of my spirit. If you can recognize my body, you recognize my spirit. You know why? My body is made exactly in the shape of my spirit. It looks like my spirit. It's just what I wear. So when you die, you take this body off, but you look the same. The same you. Hello? And so the rich man could recognize Lazarus across the divide. He said, Father Abraham, please send Lazarus across. Let him bring me some water to cool my tongue, for I am in torment. I don't know about you, but you need to know that hell is real. You should make an evangelist out of everybody. Hello? Don't tell me about hell. You want to scare me? Exactly what I was called to do. Oh, hell is real. People go there all the time. They go somewhere in this morning. Hello. Of course, I'm not happy about that. We're not willing that any should perish. That's why God sent us to preach. So they don't have to go there. It's not the will of God at all. But stubbornness, dishonesty, pride, rebellion will send you to hell faster than any other thing. Don't repent. So this guy goes across, you know, and Abraham says, it's not like that. Lazarus can't come across, you know. And he said, oh, suffering. Oh, please, I have five brothers. Then you go and tell them. You know, the answer of Father Abraham, you know, that answer, Pastor Buiga, is still echoing down through the corridors of time. And it's the same answer I give to you this morning. They have Moses. And they have the prophets. But Moses was dead. And the prophets were dead. They were all there with Father Abraham. Moses and the prophets. They were all there under the earth. But what they wrote was still on the earth. That's what he meant.
He said, they have Moses and they have the prophets. Let them hear them. The man said, oh God, you don't understand. We hear that thing every Sunday. In our time today, it will be every Sunday. In those days, it will be every Sabbath. You know, that. Why do you think we spend so much money putting the thing on the internet, putting it on television, and all of that, so you can't say you didn't hear? I know, even when I was there, I used to hear Moses and the prophets. He said, but I didn't hear. He said, but if you said Lazarus and they see him, you know, and if come from the dead, he said, they will believe. Abraham has revelation knowledge. He said, even if Lazarus went from the dead and told them, if they did not hear the prophets, they will not listen to Lazarus. And exactly what happened. Jesus raised a man called Lazarus from the dead towards the end of his ministry. Another Lazarus. And they wanted to kill that Lazarus. After Jesus was raised from the dead, and they knew, they said, go and tell them that they stole his body. They came to get in the night. If you don't listen to the word, it doesn't matter the miracle anybody does, you won't listen. You know why? The entrance of the word gives light. The doing of miracles doesn't give light. But if there was already light in the heart, then the miracle will not confirm the light. So, the Lord Jesus, those who were disobedient under the Old Testament, everybody was. That's the lesson there. Because they were not born again. So they all go to Abraham's bosom. So Jesus had to go there to preach to them. And of course, I believe everybody believed. You bet you they believed. When was the long suffering of God? Hello? Waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few. That is 8 souls. You know, I've told you the Bible is an honest book. When it's all, you say all. When it's many, you say many. When it's one, you say one. When it's few, you say few. That is 8 souls were saved by water. Verse 21. I'm going to stop. I'll close, and then next time I will continue. The like figure whereunto even baptism also doth now save us. Now he puts this in parentheses, as in brackets. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. I wish our Baptist brethren would hear this. And some of our Anglicans, and I love all of them, because, you know, I'm a true Anglican and I'm a true Baptist. But the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What Peter is saying here by revelation is this. The mere act of water baptism, the physical act, will not get you born again. You take a baby, and then you sprinkle some little thing. It's no guarantee. They must reach the age of accountability. Accept Jesus and believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. Accept him in their heart. Then the baptism comes after that. This baptism will not remove the sin nature. The mere act of physical baptism, you know, I don't care how much water you put on your head, you will not remove the sin nature. The sin nature is a spiritual thing. You cannot wash it with ordinary water. Are you listening to me? It's when you're raised from the dead, when you believe in Jesus, and then you get born again. Then after you get born again, you now go and do water baptism as an outward sign of the inward thing that has already happened. So what gets you born again is the inward one, not the outward sign. Is the outward sign necessary? Yes. As a profession to the whole world that you died with Christ and you raised again from him. You rose again with him. Are you listening to me? And Jesus commanded us to do it. He that believeth and is baptized. But have you noticed that it wasn't he that is baptized shall be saved? He that believeth, number one. Then and is baptized number two. Hello? I'm not talking to anybody here. Glory be to God. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm going to have to continue this in my next lesson. But I'll just drop it and then we'll move on from here. Here, Peter is telling us that sometimes God will allow us to suffer as Christians. I'll be talking about it in my main message later on today, actually. You know, He allows us to suffer. He allows people to persecute us. He allows people to hurt us and cheat us. There's a reason. God is not stupid. There's a reason. You know, our suffering, our righteous suffering. Now, He doesn't want you to suffer for your sins, do something bad. But when you're doing something good and then you suffer because of good, then that suffering becomes redemptive in the sense that, you know, God will use our sufferings as a credit to bring righteous judgment upon Satan and his cohorts. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. It says, you know, God considers it a righteous thing to recompense tribulation upon them that trouble you. So when we Christian suffering is not for nothing. It's to give God a legal basis to be able to punish Satan and his people. Because if they don't attack us, then God has no legal basis to punish them. So they must be allowed to. Hello? Hello? Now you need to understand something. There's a contrast here. And I'll expand on this later on, you know, today and during memories and maybe next time I take my lesson. And it is this. The sufferings of Christ on the cross was what paid for our own sins and gave God the legal basis to allow us not to go to hell. Hallelujah? That cannot be used again. It's because it's already been spent. So God must now allow us to suffer tribulation to give Him a legal basis to now punish Satan and his people. The punishment, it was Satan and his people who killed Jesus. But what they did then was allowed so that God will have a legal basis to free us. Now we are free. God says, like your Lord suffer, you too suffer. That's why if you suffer with Him, you reign with Him. So you now must learn how to suffer like He suffered. Now you don't have to die on the cross. I'll talk about that in my main message. You know, and all of that. But what it means is that our sufferings, God uses it as a legal basis to punish Satan and his people on one hand. Then on the second hand, that suffering is also used by God, you know, to be able to help the unbeliever. Like I give the example of myself. You know, when a person, and then you don't react. Then you do, you know, it's just like a fool, sha. You know, they slap. Imagine Jesus says, slap you on the left cheek, you turn the right. Oh, then yeah. But it's not. That witness of the love of Christ is a powerful thing that the Holy Ghost can use to draw the man to Jesus. So your suffering is not in vain. It's used, it's a double-edged sword. God uses that suffering. That's why He says, but and if. Like all the time you suffer like that. You know, when they do wrong to you. Sometimes God will just deliver you immediately or He will overcome them. But sometimes God will allow you to suffer. But He's doing it for a reason. Paul and Silas in Philippi. Remember, they arrested them, they beat them, they slapped them. You know, I wonder why didn't God deliver them before they beat them? Why did God allow them? But and if. But they were suffering not for the wrong thing. They were doing the right thing. They were preaching the gospel. They cast out the devil, the fortune-telling devil out of the girl. So they were preaching, you know, they suffered for the right reason. But God allowed it. 1 hour, 2 hours, 5 hours, 10 hours. They are inside the jail, you know, 12 midnight. Their backs were bleeding. Sometimes God will allow that to happen to you.
Amen. Come show, show.
But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, he'll allow it. You understand? He must allow it. So that God, he will now use it. Firstly, to punish Satan on one hand. Then secondly, as a witness of love. You know what happened that night? There was an earthquake. And when the power of the Holy Ghost came, the very man that locked them up got born again. It was worth the beating. Let us pray. Talk to God. Talk to God. Suffering is a part of the Christian life. You know? It's not as if we're going to suffer forever. I'll clarify all that later. You know, but we do suffer. That's just the truth about the matter. We do suffer fair many times for righteousness' sake. You know that scripture passage? It says, you know, the Bible says, you know, affliction arises for the word's sake. Can you imagine? It's when I'm doing the word of God that affliction will now arise. Part of the package. Hello? God will allow you. He will allow you. But and if. Now, it's not all the time you will suffer like that. That's why it says but and if. But sometimes, God will allow you to suffer for righteousness' sake. You're doing the right thing and you suffer for it. Even when that happens, you know, be cool. Chill, man. Praise the Lord. God's working. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? He's using that thing for something. He's going to use it against the devil later on. Then he can also use it in this lifetime as a witness to other people, you know, to people who are not Christians, and convict their conscience and draw them to Christ by the activity of the Holy Spirit through that suffering that you endured, showing forth the fruit of the Spirit and the character of Christ. God is such a good God. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Move amongst us.
Move
amongst us with holy fire. As we lay aside,
we lay aside all earthly desire.
Hands reach out. Let those hands reach out.
And our hearts
aspire.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Presence blow.
Let the wind of your presence blow.
At your children here.
At your children here.
Finally know.
Truly know.
How? Hallelujah.
How to move
in the Spirit.
In the Spirit flow.
Yeah.
I welcome you.
Put one hand on your heart. Raise your other hand to God. Talk to the Holy Spirit to do some new work. It's not going to finish in one day, but there'll be a new work today to help you to understand suffering. Help you understand that as a Christian, he says, but an if. The way you're doing the right thing, it's not usual that people will come against harm you. But sometimes it happens. Say, but don't worry. I will help you. Those people who are attacking you, sometimes I will use what they are doing to make them ashamed, and later on they will come and help you. Like Peter, Paul and Silas. The same man was the one who looked after them that night, took them to his house, and then he and his whole house got born again. It was worth that inconvenience. God healed Paul's back. See, many times we're not ready to inconvenience ourselves for righteousness' sake, because, and so that's why we need the Holy Spirit to do some new work. This suffering gospel, this suffering part, excuse me, it's not a suffering gospel, part of the gospel has been omitted. And most people don't even like to hear it. So you need that new work of love and grace to be like Jesus, you know, where you learn how to suffer by the Spirit, not foolish suffering. And then you overcome the suffering. It's not as if the suffering is going to be forever. No, fuck, certainly not. Now, talk to God about that right now, and we're all going to pray together. That's why the Holy Spirit chose this song. I had another song. Holy Spirit said, sing this one.
Please accomplish in me today
some new work.
Some new work of love and grace. I pray
unreservedly.
Reservedly have your way.
Holy Spirit.
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 I welcome you.
I welcome you.
Now raise that hand to God. Touch your heart with the other hand. These are just symbolic signs of dependence on God and honesty of heart. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Ha, Father, I thank you for this word that has come to me this morning, reminding me that it is your will that by your Spirit, your blood and your word, I tame my mind, my emotions, and therefore my tongue, so I respond the way you would respond. Even when I wrongfully suffer, when people criticize me wrongly, when people hurt me, when people do bad things to me, when they harm me, that like you, I will learn to suffer so that you will use that suffering as a witness by your Spirit to draw men to Christ, causing them to be ashamed later on, but most importantly, drawing them to you, admiring you in me as I reflect your character and I reflect your nature through this suffering. Oh God, oh God, oh God, do a new work in my mind, a new work in my will, a new work in my emotions in this regard, in Jesus' name. Nekatolo fredegra mashala. Le prikito frenengas. Zele prikito frenes. Lo prininga toske frenea. Jelia ranas tu frenengas. Limbredoloma yakato frenes. Likredungulamatulamastu. Nena nantoske fredes. Lo prenedes shokogolo. Ambrakamatulamatulamatufredufreshi. Zefrega glomatuloko, glomatulomako, glomatulomastofri dofreshi, ya. Sofreka kloma tukra. Koloma jenja kahai. The predators. Tofrenes. No fridiles. No fridiles. No frides. Jelikaras. Tufrenes. Tolomaras. Tufrenes. Tofrenes. Langaladalas. Shalapredolos. Tufrenes. Nangaras. Tofrenes. Tofrenes. In Jesus' name. Please accomplish in us today a song, new work of love and grace. We pray on the reserve that we have. Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. Hallelujah.